The Ottoman Empire, also called the Turkish Empire, was an imperial realm that controlled much of Southeast Europe, West Asia, and North Africa from the 14th to early 20th centuries. It also controlled parts of southeastern Central Europe between the early 16th and early 18th centuries. The empire emerged from a beylik, or principality, founded in northwestern Anatolia in c. 1299 by the Turkoman tribal leader Osman I. His successors conquered much of Anatolia and expanded into the Balkans by the mid-14th century, transforming their petty kingdom into a transcontinental empire. The Ottomans ended the Byzantine Empire with the conquest of Constantinople in 1453 by Mehmed II, which marked the Ottomans' emergence as a major regional power. Under Suleiman the Magnificent, 1520 to 1566, the empire reached the peak of its power, prosperity, and political development. By the start of the 17th century, the Ottomans presided over 32 provinces and numerous vassal states, which over time were either absorbed into the empire or granted various degrees of autonomy. With its capital at Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, and control over a significant portion of the Mediterranean basin, the Ottoman Empire was at the center of interactions between the Middle East and Europe for six centuries. While the Ottoman Empire was once thought to have entered a period of decline after the death of Suleiman the Magnificent, modern academic consensus posits that the empire continued to maintain a flexible and strong economy, society, and military into much of the 18th century. However, during a long period of peace from 1740 to 1768, the Ottoman military system fell behind those of its chief European rivals, the Habsburg and Russian empires. The Ottomans consequently suffered severe military defeats in the late 18th and early 19th centuries, culminating in the loss of both territory and global prestige. This prompted a comprehensive process of reform and modernization known as the Tanzimat. Over the course of the 19th century, the Ottoman state became vastly more powerful and organized internally, despite suffering further territorial losses, especially in the Balkans, where a number of new states emerged. Beginning in the late 19th century, various Ottoman intellectuals sought to further liberalize society and politics along European lines, culminating in the Young Turk Revolution of 1908, led by the Committee of Union and Progress (KUP), which established the second constitutional era and introduced competitive multi-party elections under a constitutional monarchy. However, following the disastrous Balkan Wars, the KUP became increasingly radicalized and nationalistic, leading a coup d'état in 1913 that established a one-party regime. The KUP allied with the Germany Empire, hoping to escape from the diplomatic isolation that had contributed to its recent territorial losses. It thus joined World War I on the side of the Central Powers. While the empire was able to largely hold its own during the conflict, it struggled with internal dissent, especially the Arab Revolt. During this period, the Ottoman government engaged in genocide against Armenians, Assyrians, and Greeks. In the aftermath of World War I, the victorious Allied powers occupied and partitioned the Ottoman Empire, which lost its southern territories to the United Kingdom and France. The successful Turkish War of Independence, led by Mustafa Kemal Atatürk against the occupying Allies, led to the emergence of the Republic of Turkey in the Anatolian heartland and the abolition of the Ottoman monarchy in 1922, formally ending the Ottoman Empire. Name. The word Ottoman is a historical anglicization of the name of Osman I, the founder of the empire and of the ruling House of Osman, also known as the Ottoman dynasty. Osman's name in turn was the Turkish form of the Arabic name Othman, Othmana. In Ottoman Turkish, the empire was referred to as Devlet-i Aleyhi Osmani, Devlet Aleyhi Othmanihu, lit. Sublime Ottoman State, or simply Devlet-i Osmani, Devlet Othmanihi, lit. Ottoman State. The Turkish word for Ottoman, Osmanli, originally referred to the tribal followers of Osman in the 14th century. The word subsequently came to be used to refer to the empire's military administrative elite. In contrast, the term Turk, was used to refer to the Anatolian peasant and tribal population and was seen as a disparaging term when applied to urban, educated individuals. In the early modern period, an educated, urban-dwelling Turkish speaker who was not a member of the military administrative class typically referred to themselves neither as an Osmanli nor as a Turk, but rather as a Rumi, Rumian, or Roman, meaning an inhabitant of the territory of the former Byzantine Empire in the Balkans and Anatolia. The term Rumi was also used to refer to Turkish speakers by the other Muslim peoples of the empire and beyond. As applied to Ottoman Turkish speakers, this term began to fall out of use at the end of the 17th century, and instead the word increasingly became associated with the Greek population of the empire, a meaning that it still bears in Turkey today. In Western Europe, the names Ottoman Empire, Turkish Empire, and Turkey were often used interchangeably, with Turkey being increasingly favored both in formal and informal situations. This dichotomy was officially ended in 1920 to 1923, when the newly established Ankara-based Turkish government chose Turkey as the sole official name. At present, most scholarly historians avoid the terms Turkey, Turks, and Turkish when referring to the Ottomans, due to the empire's multinational character. History. Rise c. 1299 to 1453. As the Rum Sultanate declined in the 13th century, Anatolia was divided into a patchwork of independent Turkish principalities known as the Anatolian Beyliks. One of these, in the region of Bithynia on the frontier of the Byzantine Empire, was led by the Turkish tribal leader Osman I.D. 1323-4, a figure of obscure origins from whom the name Ottoman is derived. Osman's early followers consisted of Turkish tribal groups and Byzantine renegades, with many but not all converts to Islam. Osman extended control of his principality by conquering Byzantine towns along the Sakarya River. A Byzantine defeat at the Battle of Beyfus in 1302 contributed to Osman's rise. It is not well understood how the early Ottomans came to dominate their neighbors, due to the lack of sources surviving. The Gaza thesis, popular during the 20th century, credited their success to rallying religious warriors to fight for them in the name of Islam, but it is no longer generally accepted. No other hypothesis has attracted broad acceptance. In the century after Osman I, Ottoman rule had begun to extend over Anatolia and the Balkans. The earliest conflicts began during the Byzantine-Ottoman Wars, waged in Anatolia in the late 13th century before entering Europe in the mid-14th century, followed by the Bulgarian-Ottoman Wars and the Serbian-Ottoman Wars in the mid-14th century. Much of this period was characterized by Ottoman expansion into the Balkans. Osman's son, Orhan, captured the northwestern Anatolian city of Bursa in 1326, making it the new capital and supplanting Byzantine control in the region. The important port of Thessaloniki was captured from the Venetians in 1387 and sacked. The Ottoman victory in Kosovo in 1389 effectively marked the end of Serbian power in the region, paving the way for Ottoman expansion into Europe. The Battle of Nicopolis for the Bulgarian Tsardom of Vidin in 1396, regarded as the last large-scale crusade of the Middle Ages, failed to stop the advance of the victorious Ottomans. As the Turks expanded into the Balkans, the conquest of Constantinople became a crucial objective. The Ottomans had already wrested control of nearly all former Byzantine lands surrounding the city, but the strong defense of Constantinople's strategic position on the Bosporus Strait made it difficult to conquer. In 1402, the Byzantines were temporarily relieved when the Turco-Mongol leader Timur, founder of the Timurid Empire, invaded Ottoman Anatolia from the east. In the Battle of Ankara in 1402, Timur defeated Ottoman forces and took Sultan Bayezid I as prisoner, throwing the empire into disorder. The ensuing civil war lasted from 1402 to 1413 as Bayezid's sons fought over succession. It ended when Mehmed I emerged as the Sultan and restored Ottoman power. The Balkan territories lost by the Ottomans after 1402, including Thessaloniki, Macedonia, and Kosovo, were later recovered by Murad II between the 1430s and 1450s. On November 10, 1444, Murad repelled the Crusade of Varna by defeating the Hungarian, Polish, and Wallachian armies under the Ladislaw III of Poland and John Hunyadi at the Battle of Varna, although Albanians under Skanderbeg continued to resist. 4 years later, John Hunyadi prepared another army of Hungarian and Wallachian forces to attack the Turks, but was again defeated at the Second Battle of Kosovo in 1448. According to modern historiography, there is a direct connection between the rapid Ottoman military advance and the consequences of the Black Death from the mid-14th century onwards. Byzantine territories, where the initial Ottoman conquests were carried out, were exhausted demographically and militarily due to the plague, which facilitated Ottoman expansion. In addition, slave hunting was the main economic driving force behind Ottoman conquest. Some 21st century authors reperiodized conquest of the Balkans into the Akinci phase, which spanned 8 to 13 decades, characterized by continuous slave hunting and destruction, followed by administrative integration into the empire. Expansion and peak, 1453 to 1566. The son of Murad II, Mem the Conqueror, reorganized both state and military, and on May 29, 1453 conquered Constantinople, ending the Byzantine Empire. Memd allowed the Eastern Orthodox Church to maintain its autonomy and land in exchange for accepting Ottoman authority. Due to tension between the states of Western Europe and the later Byzantine Empire, most of the Orthodox population accepted Ottoman rule as preferable to Venetian rule. Albanian resistance was a major obstacle to Ottoman expansion on the Italian peninsula. In the 15th and 16th centuries, the Ottoman Empire entered a period of expansion. The empire prospered under the rule of a line of committed and effective sultans. It flourished economically due to its control of the major overland trade routes between Europe and Asia. Sultan Selim I, 1512 to 1520, dramatically expanded the eastern and southern frontiers by defeating Shah Ismail of Safavid Iran in the Battle of Caldron. Selim I established Ottoman rule in Egypt by defeating and annexing the Mamluk Sultanate of Egypt and created a naval presence on the Red Sea. After this Ottoman expansion, competition began between the Portuguese Empire and the Ottomans to become the dominant power in the region. Suleiman the Magnificent, 1520 to 1566, captured Belgrade in 1521, conquered the southern and central parts of the Kingdom of Hungary as part of the Ottoman-Hungarian Wars, and, after his historic victory in the Battle of Mohács in 1526, he established Ottoman rule in the territory of present-day Hungary and other central European territories. He then laid siege to Vienna in 1529, but failed to take the city. In 1532, he made another attack on Vienna, but was repulsed in the Siege of Guns. Transylvania, Wallachia, and, intermittently, Moldavia, became tributary principalities of the empire. In the east, the Ottoman Turks took Baghdad from the Persians in 1535, gaining control of Mesopotamia and naval access to the Persian Gulf. In 1555, the Caucasus became partitioned for the first time between the Safavids and the Ottomans, a status quo that remained until the end of the Russo-Turkish War, 1768 to 1774. By this partitioning is signed in the Peace of Amasya, Western Armenia, Western Kurdistan, and Western Georgia fell into Ottoman hands, while Southern Dagestan, Eastern Armenia, Eastern Georgia, and Azerbaijan remained Persian. In 1539, a 60,000-strong Ottoman army besieged the Spanish garrison of Castelnuovo on the Adriatic coast. The successful siege cost the Ottomans 8,000 casualties, but Venice agreed to terms in 1540, surrendering most of its empire in the Aegean and the Morea. France and the Ottoman Empire, united by mutual opposition to Habsburg rule, became allies. The French conquests of Nice, 1543, and Corsica, 1553, occurred as a joint venture between French King Francis I and Suleiman, and were commanded by the Ottoman admirals Hayreddin Barbarossa and Dragut. France supported the Ottomans with an artillery unit during the 1543 Ottoman conquest of Esztergom in northern Hungary. After further advances by the Turks, the Habsburg ruler Ferdinand officially recognized Ottoman ascendancy in Hungary in 1547. Suleiman died of natural causes during the Siege of Szigetvár in 1566. Following his death, the Ottomans were said to be declining, although this has been rejected by many scholars. By the end of Suleiman's reign, the empire spanned approximately 877,888 square miles, 2,273,720 square kilometers, extending over three continents. The empire became a dominant naval force, controlling much of the Mediterranean Sea. The empire was now a major part of European politics. The Ottomans became involved in multicontinental religious wars when Spain and Portugal were united under the Iberian Union. The Ottomans were holders of the Caliph title, meaning they were the leaders of Muslims worldwide. The Iberians were leaders of the Christian Crusaders, and so the two fought in a worldwide conflict. There were zones of operations in the Mediterranean and Indian Ocean, where Iberians circumnavigated Africa to reach India and, on their way, wage war upon the Ottomans and their local Muslim allies. Likewise, the Iberians passed through newly Christianized Latin America and had sent expeditions that traversed the Pacific to Christianize the formerly Muslim Philippines and use it as a base to attack the Muslims in the Far East. In this case, the Ottomans sent armies to aid its easternmost vassal and territory, the Sultanate of Aceh in Southeast Asia. During the 1600s, the world conflict between the Ottoman Caliphate and Iberian Union was a stalemate since both were at similar population, technology, and economic levels. Nevertheless, the success of the Ottoman political and military establishment was compared to the Roman Empire, despite the difference in size, by the likes of contemporary Italian scholar Francesco Sansovino and French political philosopher Jean Bodin. Stagnation and Reform, 1566 to 1827. Revolts, Reversals and Revivals, 1566 to 1683. In the second half of the 16th century, the Ottoman Empire came under increasing strain from inflation and the rapidly rising costs of warfare that were impacting both Europe and the Middle East. These pressures led to a series of crises around the year 1600, placing great strain upon the Ottoman system of government. The empire underwent a series of transformations of its political and military institutions in response to these challenges, enabling it to successfully adapt to the new conditions of the 17th century and remain powerful, both militarily and economically. Historians of the mid-20th century once characterized this period as one of stagnation and decline, but this view is now rejected by the majority of academics. The discovery of new maritime trade routes by Western European states allowed them to avoid the Ottoman trade monopoly. The Portuguese discovery of the Cape of Good Hope in 1488 initiated a series of Ottoman-Portuguese naval wars in the Indian Ocean throughout the 16th century. Despite the growing European presence in the Indian Ocean, Ottoman trade with the East continued to flourish. Cairo, in particular, benefited from the rise of Yemeni coffee as a popular consumer commodity. As coffee houses appeared in cities and towns across the empire, Cairo developed into a major center for its trade, contributing to its continued prosperity throughout the 17th and much of the 18th century. Under Ivan IV, 1533 to 1584, the Tsardom of Russia expanded into the Volga and Caspian regions at the expense of the Tatar Khanates. In 1571, the Crimean Khan Devlet I Gyuri, commanded by the Ottomans, burned Moscow. The next year, the invasion was repeated but repelled at the Battle of Malodi. The Ottoman Empire continued to invade Eastern Europe in a series of slave raids and remained a significant power in Eastern Europe until the end of the 17th century. The Ottomans decided to conquer Venetian Cyprus, and on July 22, 1570, Nicosia was besieged. 50,000 Christians died, and 180,000 were enslaved. On September 15, 1570, the Ottoman cavalry appeared before the last Venetian stronghold in Cyprus, Famagusta. The Venetian defenders held out for 11 months against a force that at its peak numbered 200,000 men with 145 cannons. 163,000 cannonballs struck the walls of Famagusta before it fell to the Ottomans in August 1571. The siege of Famagusta claimed 50,000 Ottoman casualties. Meanwhile, the Holy League, consisting of mostly Spanish and Venetian fleets, won a victory over the Ottoman fleet at the Battle of Lepanto, 1571, off southwestern Greece. Catholic forces killed over 30,000 Turks and destroyed 200 of their ships. It was a startling, if mostly symbolic, blow to the image of Ottoman invincibility, an image which the victory of the Knights of Malta over the Ottoman invaders in the 1565 Siege of Malta had recently set about eroding. The battle was far more damaging to the Ottoman navy in sapping experienced manpower than the loss of ships, which were rapidly replaced. The Ottoman navy recovered quickly, persuading Venice to sign a peace treaty in 1573, allowing the Ottomans to expand and consolidate their position in North Africa. By contrast, the Habsburg frontier had settled somewhat, a stalemate caused by a stiffening of the Habsburg defenses. The long Turkish war against Habsburg Austria, 1593 to 1606, created the need for greater numbers of Ottoman infantry equipped with firearms, resulting in a relaxation of recruitment policy. This contributed to problems of indiscipline and outright rebelliousness within the corps, which were never fully solved. Irregular sharpshooters, sekben, were also recruited, and on demobilization turned to brigandage in the Salali rebellions, 1590-1610, which engendered widespread anarchy in Anatolia in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. With the empire's population reaching 30 million people by 1600, the shortage of land placed further pressure on the government. In spite of these problems, the Ottoman state remained strong, and its army did not collapse or suffer crushing defeats. The only exceptions were campaigns against the Safavid dynasty of Persia, where many of the Ottoman eastern provinces were lost, some permanently. This 1603-1618 war eventually resulted in the Treaty of Nesu Pasha, which ceded the entire Caucasus, except westernmost Georgia, back into the possession of Safavid Iran. The treaty ending the Cretan War cost Venice much of Dalmatia, its Aegean island possessions, and Crete. Losses from the war totaled 30,985 Venetian soldiers and 118,754 Turkish soldiers. During his brief majority reign, Murad IV, 1623-1640, reasserted central authority and recaptured Iraq, 1639, from the Safavids. The resulting Treaty of Zuhab of that same year decisively divided the Caucasus and adjacent regions between the two neighboring empires as it had already been defined in the 1555 Peace of Amasya. The Sultanate of Women, 1533-1656, was a period in which the mothers of young sultans exercised power on behalf of their sons. The most prominent women of this period were Kozum Sultan and her daughter-in-law Turhan Hattisi, whose political rivalry culminated in Kozum's murder in 1651. During the Koperlu era, 1656-1703, effective control of the empire was exercised by a sequence of grand viziers from the Koperlu family. The Koperlu vizierate saw renewed military success with authority restored in Transylvania, the conquest of Crete completed in 1669, and expansion into Polish southern Ukraine, with the strongholds of Khotyn and Kamianets-Podilskyi and the territory of Podolia ceding to Ottoman control in 1676. This period of renewed assertiveness came to a calamitous end in 1683 when Grand Vizier Kara Mustafa Pasha led a huge army to attempt a second Ottoman siege of Vienna in the Great Turkish War of 1683-1699. The final assault being fatally delayed, the Ottoman forces were swept away by allied Habsburg, German, and Polish forces spearheaded by the Polish king, John III Sobieski, at the Battle of Vienna. The alliance of the Holy League pressed home the advantage of the defeat at Vienna, culminating in the Treaty of Karlowitz, January 26, 1699, which ended the Great Turkish War. The Ottomans surrendered control of significant territories, many permanently. Mustafa II, 1695-1703, led the counterattack of 1695-1696 against the Habsburgs in Hungary, but was undone at the disastrous defeat at Zenta, in modern Serbia, September 11, 1697. Military defeats. Aside from the loss of the Banat and the temporary loss of Belgrade, 1717-1739, the Ottoman border on the Danube and Sava remained stable during the 18th century. Russian expansion, however, presented a large and growing threat. Accordingly, King Charles XII of Sweden was welcomed as an ally in the Ottoman Empire following his defeat by the Russians at the Battle of Poltava of 1709 in central Ukraine, part of the Great Northern War of 1700-1721. Charles XII persuaded the Ottoman Sultan Ahmed III to declare war on Russia, which resulted in an Ottoman victory in the Pruth River Campaign of 1710-1711 in Moldavia. After the Austro-Turkish War, the Treaty of Passarowitz confirmed the loss of the Banat, Serbia, and Little Wallachia, Altenia, to Austria. The treaty also revealed that the Ottoman Empire was on the defensive and unlikely to present any further aggression in Europe. The Austro-Russian-Turkish War, 1735-1739, which was ended by the Treaty of Belgrade in 1739, resulted in the Ottoman recovery of northern Bosnia, Habsburg Serbia, including Belgrade, Altenia, and the southern parts of the Banat of Temeswar. But the empire lost the port of Azov, north of the Crimean Peninsula, to the Russians. After this treaty, the Ottoman Empire was able to enjoy a generation of peace in Europe, as Austria and Russia were forced to deal with the rise of Prussia. Educational and technological reforms came about, including the establishment of higher education institutions, such as the Istanbul Technical University. In 1734, an artillery school was established to impart Western-style artillery methods. But the Islamic clergy successfully objected under the grounds of theodicy. In 1754, the artillery school was reopened on a semi-secret basis. In 1726, Ibrahim Mutafarika convinced the Grand Vizier Nefsahurli Damit Ibrahim Pasha, the Grand Mufti, and the clergy on the efficiency of the printing press, and Mutafarika was later granted by Sultan Ahmed III permission to publish non-religious books, despite opposition from some calligraphers and religious leaders. Mutafarika's press published its first book in 1729, and, by 1743, issued 17 works in 23 volumes, each having between 500 and 1,000 copies. In North Africa, Spain conquered Oran from the autonomous Dalek of Algiers. The Bey of Oran received an army from Algiers, but it failed to recapture Oran. The siege caused the deaths of 1,500 Spaniards, and even more Algerians. The Spanish also massacred many Muslim soldiers. In 1792, Spain abandoned Oran, selling it to the Dalek of Algiers. In 1768, Russian-backed Ukrainian Hydamikas, pursuing Polish Confederates, entered Balta, an Ottoman-controlled town on the border of Bessarabia in Ukraine, massacred its citizens, and burned the town to the ground. This action provoked the Ottoman Empire into the Russo-Turkish War of 1768 to 1774. The Treaty of Kukuk-Kinarka of 1774 ended the war and provided freedom of worship for the Christian citizens of the Ottoman-controlled provinces of Wallachia and Moldavia. By the late 18th century, after a number of defeats in the wars with Russia, some people in the Ottoman Empire began to conclude that the reforms of Peter the Great had given the Russians an edge, and the Ottomans would have to keep up with Western technology in order to avoid further defeats. Selim III, 1789-1807, made the first major attempts to modernize the army, but his reforms were hampered by the religious leadership and the Janissary Corps. Jealous of their privileges and firmly opposed to change, the Janissary revolted. Selim's efforts cost him his throne and his life, but were resolved in spectacular and bloody fashion by his successor, the dynamic Mahmud II, who eliminated the Janissary Corps in 1826. The Serbian Revolution, 1804-1815, marked the beginning of an era of national awakening in the Balkans during the Eastern Question. In 1811, the fundamentalist Wahhabis of Arabia, led by the Al-Saud family, revolted against the Ottomans. Unable to defeat the Wahhabi rebels, the Sublime Porte had Muhammad Ali Pasha of Kavala, the valley governor of the islet of Egypt, tasked with retaking Arabia, which ended with the destruction of the Emirate of Diriyah in 1818. The suzerainty of Serbia as a hereditary monarchy under its own dynasty was acknowledged de jure in 1830. In 1821, the Greeks declared war on the Sultan. A rebellion that originated in Moldavia as a diversion was followed by the main revolution in the Peloponnese, which, along with the northern part of the Gulf of Corinth, became the first parts of the Ottoman Empire to achieve independence in 1829. In 1830, the French invaded the Dalek of Algiers. The campaign that took 21 days resulted in over 5,000 Algerian military casualties and about 2,600 French ones. Before the French invasion, the total population of Algeria was most likely between 3 million and 5 million. By 1873, the population of Algeria, excluding several hundred thousand newly arrived French settlers, had decreased to 2,172,000. In 1831, Muhammad Ali of Egypt revolted against Sultan Mahmud II due to the latter's refusal to grant him the governorships of Greater Syria and Crete, which the Sultan had promised him in exchange for sending military assistance to put down the Greek Revolt, 1821-1829, that ultimately ended with the formal independence of Greece in 1830. It was a costly enterprise for Muhammad Ali, who had lost his fleet at the Battle of Navarino in 1827. Thus began the First Egyptian-Ottoman War, 1831-1833, during which the French-trained army of Muhammad Ali, under the command of his son Ibrahim Pasha, defeated the Ottoman army as it marched into Anatolia, reaching the city of Kütahya within 320 kilometers, 200 miles, of the capital, Constantinople. In desperation, Sultan Mahmud II appealed to the empire's traditional archrival Russia for help, asking Emperor Nicholas I to send an expeditionary force to assist him. In return for signing the Treaty of Hunkar-Iskalisi, the Russians sent the expeditionary force which deterred Ibrahim Pasha from marching any further towards Constantinople. Under the terms of the Convention of Kataia, signed on May 5, 1833, Muhammad Ali agreed to abandon his campaign against the Sultan, in exchange for which he was made the Valley Governor of the Vilayets, provinces of Crete, Aleppo, Tripoli, Damascus and Sidon, the latter four comprising modern Syria and Lebanon, and given the right to collect taxes in Adana. Had it not been for the Russian intervention, Sultan Mahmud II could have faced the risk of being overthrown and Muhammad Ali could have even become the new Sultan. These events marked the beginning of a recurring pattern where the Sublime Porte needed the help of foreign powers to protect itself. In 1839, the Sublime Porte attempted to take back what it lost to the de facto autonomous, but de jure still Ottoman islet of Egypt, but its forces were initially defeated, which led to the Oriental Crisis of 1840. Muhammad Ali had close relations with France, and the prospect of him becoming the Sultan of Egypt was widely viewed as putting the entire Levant into the French sphere of influence. As the Sublime Porte had proved itself incapable of defeating Muhammad Ali, the British Empire and Austrian Empire provided military assistance, and the Second Egyptian-Ottoman War, 1839-1841, ended with Ottoman victory and the restoration of Ottoman suzerainty over Egypt islet and the Levant. By the mid-19th century, the Ottoman Empire was called the sick man of Europe. Three suzerain states, the Principality of Serbia, Wallachia, and Moldavia, moved towards de jure independence during the 1860s and 1870s. Decline and modernization, 1828-1908. During the Tanzimat period, 1839-1876, the government's series of constitutional reforms led to a fairly modern conscripted army, banking system reforms, the decriminalization of homosexuality, the replacement of religious law with secular law, and guilds with modern factories. The Ottoman Ministry of Post was established in Istanbul in 1840. American inventor Samuel Morse received an Ottoman patent for the telegraph in 1847, issued by Sultan Abdulmecid, who personally tested the invention. The reformist period peaked with the constitution, called the Canon Jus Ossi. The empire's first constitutional era was short-lived. The parliament survived for only 2 years before the Sultan suspended it. The empire's Christian population, owing to their higher educational levels, started to pull ahead of the Muslim majority, leading to much resentment. In 1861, there were 571 primary and 94 secondary schools for Ottoman Christians, with 140,000 pupils in total, a figure that vastly exceeded the number of Muslim children in school at the time, who were further hindered by the amount of time spent learning Arabic and Islamic theology. Author Norman Stone suggests that the Arabic alphabet, in which Turkish was written until 1928, was ill-suited to reflect the sounds of Turkish, which is a Turkic as opposed to Semitic language, which imposed further difficulty on Turkish children. In turn, Christians' higher educational levels allowed them to play a larger role in the economy, with the rise in prominence of groups such as the Sursak family indicative of this. In 1911, of the 654 wholesale companies in Istanbul, 528 were owned by ethnic Greeks. In many cases, Christians and Jews gained protection from European consuls and citizenship, meaning they were protected from Ottoman law and not subject to the same economic regulations as their Muslim counterparts. The Crimean War, 1853-1856, was part of a long-running contest between the major European powers for influence over territories of the declining Ottoman Empire. The financial burden of the war led the Ottoman state to issue foreign loans amounting to £5 million on August 4, 1854. The war caused an exodus of the Crimean Tatars, about 200,000 of whom moved to the Ottoman Empire in continuing waves of emigration. Toward the end of the Caucasian Wars, 90% of the Circassians were ethnically cleansed and exiled from their homelands in the Caucasus, fleeing to the Ottoman Empire, resulting in the settlement of 500,000 to 700,000 Circassians in the Ottoman Empire. Crimean Tatar refugees in the late 19th century played an especially notable role in seeking to modernize Ottoman education and in first promoting both pan-Turkism and a sense of Turkish nationalism. In this period, the Ottoman Empire spent only small amounts of public funds on education. For example, in 1860 to 1861, only 0.2% of the total budget was invested in education. As the Ottoman state attempted to modernize its infrastructure and army in response to outside threats, it opened itself up to a different kind of threat, that of creditors. As the historian Eugene Rogan has written, the single greatest threat to the independence of the Middle East in the 19th century was not the armies of Europe but its banks. The Ottoman state, which had begun taking on debt with the Crimean War, was forced to declare bankruptcy in 1875. By 1881, the Ottoman Empire agreed to have its debt controlled by the Ottoman Public Debt Administration, a council of European men with presidency alternating between France and Britain. The body controlled swaths of the Ottoman economy and used its position to ensure that European capital continued to penetrate the empire, often to the detriment of local Ottoman interests. The Ottoman Bashibazouks suppressed the Bulgarian uprising of 1876, massacring up to 100,000 people in the process. The Russo-Turkish War, 1877 to 1878, ended with a decisive victory for Russia. As a result, Ottoman holdings in Europe declined sharply. Bulgaria was established as an independent principality inside the Ottoman Empire. Romania achieved full independence, and Serbia and Montenegro finally gained complete independence, but with smaller territories. In 1878, Austria-Hungary unilaterally occupied the Ottoman provinces of Bosnia-Herzegovina and Novi Pazar. British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli advocated restoring the Ottoman territories on the Balkan Peninsula during the Congress of Berlin, and in return, Britain assumed the administration of Cyprus in 1878. Britain later sent troops to Egypt in 1882 to put down the Urabi Revolt. Sultan Abdul Hamid II was too paranoid to mobilize his own army, fearing this would result in a coup d'état, effectively gaining control in both territories. Abdul Hamid II was so fearful of a coup that he did not allow his army to conduct war games, lest this serve as cover for a coup, but he did see the need for military mobilization. In 1883, a German military mission under General Baron Kolmar von der Goltz arrived to train the Ottoman army, leading to the so-called Goltz generation of German-trained officers, who played a notable role in the politics of the empire's last years. From 1894 to 1896, between 100,000 and 300,000 Armenians living throughout the empire were killed in what became known as the Hamidian massacres. In 1897, the population was 19 million, of whom 14 million, 74%, were Muslim. An additional 20 million lived in provinces that remained under the Sultan's nominal suzerainty but were entirely outside his actual power. One by one, the Porte lost nominal authority. They included Egypt, Tunisia, Bulgaria, Cyprus, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Lebanon. As the Ottoman Empire gradually shrank, 7 to 9 million Muslims from its former territories in the Caucasus, Crimea, Balkans, and the Mediterranean islands migrated to Anatolia and eastern Thrace. After the empire lost the First Balkan War, 1912 to 1913, it lost all its Balkan territories except East Thrace, European Turkey. This resulted in around 400,000 Muslims fleeing with the retreating Ottoman armies, with many dying from cholera brought by the soldiers, and 400,000 non-Muslims fled territory still under Ottoman rule. Justin McCarthy estimates that from 1821 to 1922, 5.5 million Muslims died in southeastern Europe, with the expulsion of 5 million. Defeat and dissolution, 1908 to 1922. Young Turk movement. The defeat and dissolution of the Ottoman Empire, 1908 to 1922, began with the Second Constitutional Era, a moment of hope and promise established with the Young Turk Revolution. It restored the constitution of the Ottoman Empire and brought in multi-party politics with a two-stage electoral system, electoral law, under the Ottoman Parliament. The constitution offered hope by freeing the empire's citizens to modernize the state's institutions, rejuvenate its strength, and enable it to hold its own against outside powers. Its guarantee of liberties promised to dissolve intercommunal tensions and transform the empire into a more harmonious place. Instead, this period became the story of the twilight struggle of the empire. Members of Young Turks movement who had once gone underground now established their parties. Among them, Committee of Union and Progress and Freedom and Accord Party were major parties. On the other end of the spectrum were ethnic parties, which included Pol Zion, Al-Fatat, and Armenian National Movement organized under Armenian Revolutionary Federation. Profiting from the civil strife, Austria-Hungary officially annexed Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1908. The last of the Ottoman censuses was performed in 1914. Despite military reforms which reconstituted the Ottoman modern army, the empire lost its North African territories and the Dodecanese in the Italo-Turkish War, 1911, and almost all of its European territories in the Balkan Wars, 1912 to 1913. The empire faced continuous unrest in the years leading up to World War I, including the March 31st incident and two further coups in 1912 and 1913. World War I. The Ottoman Empire entered World War I on the side of the Central Powers and was ultimately defeated. The Ottoman participation in the war began with the combined German-Ottoman surprise attack on the Black Sea coast of the Russian Empire on October 29, 1914. Following the attack, the Russian Empire, November 2, 1914, and its allies France, November 5, 1914, and the British Empire, November 5, 1914, declared war on the Ottoman Empire. Also on November 5, 1914, the British government changed the status of the Khedivate of Egypt and Cyprus, which were de jure Ottoman territories prior to the war, to British protectorates. The Ottomans successfully defended the Dardanelles Strait during the Gallipoli Campaign, 1915 to 1916, and achieved initial victories against British forces in the first 2 years of the Mesopotamian Campaign, such as the Siege of Kut, 1915 to 1916. But the Arab Revolt, 1916 to 1918, turned the tide against the Ottomans in the Middle East. In the Caucasus Campaign, however, the Russian forces had the upper hand from the beginning, especially after the Battle of Sarikamish, 1914 to 1915. Russian forces advanced into northeastern Anatolia and controlled the major cities there until retreating from World War I with the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk following the Russian Revolution in 1917. Genocides. In 1915, the Ottoman government and Kurdish tribes in the region started the extermination of its ethnic Armenian population, resulting in the deaths of up to 1.5 million Armenians in the Armenian Genocide. The genocide was carried out during and after World War I and implemented in two phases. The wholesale killing of the able-bodied male population through massacre and subjection of army conscripts to forced labor, followed by the deportation of women, children, the elderly and infirm on death marches leading to the Syrian desert. Driven forward by military escorts, the deportees were deprived of food and water and subjected to periodic robbery, rape, and systematic massacre. Large-scale massacres were also committed against the empire's Greek and Assyrian minorities as part of the same campaign of ethnic cleansing.
Arab Revolt.
The Arab Revolt began in 1916 with British support. It turned the tide against the Ottomans on the Middle Eastern front, where they seemed to have the upper hand during the first 2 years of the war. On the basis of the McMahon-Hussein correspondence, an agreement between the British government and Hussein bin Ali, Sharif of Mecca, the revolt was officially initiated at Mecca on June 10, 1916. The Arab nationalist goal was to create a single unified and independent Arab state stretching from Aleppo, Syria, to Aden, Yemen, which the British promised to recognize. The Sharifian army, led by Hussein and the Hashemites, with military backing from the British-Egyptian Expeditionary Force, successfully fought and expelled the Ottoman military presence from much of the Hejaz and Transjordan. The rebellion eventually took Damascus and set up a short-lived monarchy led by Faisal, a son of Hussein. Following the terms of the 1916 Sykes-Picot Agreement, the British and French later partitioned the Middle East into Mandate territories. There was no unified Arab state, much to Arab nationalists' anger. Palestine, Iraq, Lebanon and Syria became British and French mandates. Treaty of Sèvres and Turkish War of Independence. Defeated in World War I, the Ottoman Empire signed the Armistice of Mudros on October 30, 1918. Istanbul was occupied by combined British, French, Italian and Greek forces. In May 1919, Greece also took control of the area around Smyrna, now Izmir. The partition of the Ottoman Empire was finalized under the terms of the 1920 Treaty of Sèvres. This treaty, as designed in the Conference of London, allowed the Sultan to retain his position and title. Anatolia's status was problematic given the occupied forces. A nationalist opposition arose in the Turkish national movement. It won the Turkish War of Independence, 1919 to 1923, under the leadership of Mustafa Kemal, later given the surname Ataturk. The Sultanate was abolished on November 1, 1922, and the last Sultan, Mem VI, reigned 1918 to 1922, left the country on November 17, 1922. The Republic of Turkey was established in its place on October 29, 1923, in the new capital city of Ankara. The caliphate was abolished on March 3, 1924. Tartars fleeing to Dobruja. Between 1783 and 1913, approximately 5 to 7 million refugees arrived into the Ottoman Empire. Between the 1850s and World War I, about 1 million North Caucasian Muslims arrived in the Ottoman Empire as refugees. Some migrations left indelible marks such as political tension between parts of the empire, e.g., Turkey and Bulgaria. Whereas centrifugal effects were noticed in other territories, simpler demographics emerging from diverse populations. Economies were also impacted by the loss of artisans, merchants, manufacturers, and agriculturists. Since the 19th century, a large proportion of Muslim peoples from the Balkans emigrated to present-day Turkey. These people are called Muhasir. By the time the Ottoman Empire came to an end in 1922, half of the urban population of Turkey was descended from Muslim refugees from Russia. Language. Ottoman Turkish was the official language of the empire. It was an Oghuz Turkic language highly influenced by Persian and Arabic, though lower registries spoken by the common people had fewer influences from other languages compared to higher varieties used by upper classes and governmental authorities. Turkish, in its Ottoman variation, was a language of military and administration since the nascent days of the Ottomans. The Ottoman Constitution of 1876 did officially cement the official imperial status of Turkish. The Ottomans had several influential languages. Turkish, spoken by the majority of the people in Anatolia and by the majority of Muslims of the Balkans except some regions such as Albania, Bosnia and the Maglino-Romanian inhabited Nanti. Persian, only spoken by the educated. Arabic, spoken mainly in Egypt, the Levant, Arabia, Iraq, North Africa, Kuwait and parts of the Horn of Africa and Berber in North Africa. In the last two centuries, usage of these became limited, though, and specific. Persian served mainly as a literary language for the educated, while Arabic was used for Islamic prayers. In the post-Tanzimat period, French became the common Western language among the educated. Because of a low literacy rate among the public, about 2-3% until the early 19th century and just about 15% at the end of the 19th century, ordinary people had to hire scribes as special request writers, arzahalsis, to be able to communicate with the government. Some ethnic groups continued to speak within their families and neighborhoods, mehals, with their own languages, though many non-Muslim minorities such as Greeks and Armenians only spoke Turkish. In villages where two or more populations lived together, the inhabitants often spoke each other's language. In cosmopolitan cities, people often spoke their family languages. Many of those who were not ethnic Turks spoke Turkish as a second language. Religion. Sunni Islam was the prevailing din, customs, legal traditions, and religion of the Ottoman Empire. The official madhab school of Islamic jurisprudence was Hanafi. From the early 16th century until the early 20th century, the Ottoman Sultan also served as the caliph or politico-religious leader of the Muslim world. Most of the Ottoman sultans adhered to Sufism and followed Sufi orders, and believed Sufism was the correct way to reach God. Non-Muslims, particularly Christians and Jews, were present throughout the empire's history. The Ottoman imperial system was characterized by an intricate combination of official Muslim hegemony over non-Muslims and a wide degree of religious tolerance. While religious minorities were never equal under the law, they were granted recognition, protection, and limited freedoms under both Islamic and Ottoman tradition. Until the second half of the 15th century, the majority of Ottoman subjects were Christian. Non-Muslims remained a significant and economically influential minority, albeit declining significantly by the 19th century, due largely to migration and secession. The proportion of Muslims amounted to 60% in the 1820s, gradually increasing to 69% in the 1870s and 76% in the 1890s. By 1914, less than a fifth of the empire's population, 19.1%, was non-Muslim, mostly made up of Jews and Christian Greeks, Assyrians, and Armenians.
Islam.
Turkic peoples practiced a form of shamanism before adopting Islam. The Muslim conquest of Transoxiana under the Abbasids facilitated the spread of Islam into the Turkic heartland of Central Asia. Many Turkic tribes, including the Oghuz Turks, who were the ancestors of both the Seljuks and the Ottomans, gradually converted to Islam and brought religion to Anatolia through their migrations beginning in the 11th century. From its founding, the Ottoman Empire officially supported the Maturidi school of Islamic theology, which emphasized human reason, rationality, the pursuit of science and philosophy, falsafa. The Ottomans were among the earliest and most enthusiastic adopters of the Hanafi school of Islamic jurisprudence, which was comparatively more flexible and discretionary in its rulings. The Ottoman Empire had a wide variety of Islamic sects, including Druze, Ismailis, Alevis, and Alawites. Sufism, a diverse body of Islamic mysticism, found fertile ground in Ottoman lands. Many Sufi religious orders, tariqa, such as the Bektashi and Mevlevi, were either established or saw significant growth throughout the empire's history. However, some heterodox Muslim groups were viewed as heretical and even ranked below Jews and Christians in terms of legal protection. Druze were frequent targets of persecution, with Ottoman authorities often citing the controversial rulings of Ibn Taymiyyah, a member of the conservative Hanbali school. In 1514, Sultan Selim I ordered the massacre of 40,000 Anatolian Alevis, Kizilbash, whom he considered a fifth column for the rival Safavid Empire. During Selim's reign, the Ottoman Empire saw an unprecedented and rapid expansion into the Middle East, particularly the conquest of the entire Mamluk Sultanate of Egypt on the early 16th century. These conquests further solidified the Ottoman claim of being an Islamic caliphate, although Ottoman sultans had been claiming the title of caliph since the reign of Murad I, 1362 to 1389. The caliphate was officially transferred from the Mamluks to the Ottoman Sultanate in 1517, whose members were recognized as caliphs until the office's abolition on March 3, 1924 by the Republic of Turkey and the exile of the last caliph, Abdulmasid II, to France. Christianity and Judaism. In accordance with the Muslim dhimmi system, the Ottoman Empire guaranteed limited freedoms to Christians, Jews, and other people of the book, such as the right to worship, own property, and be exempt from the obligatory alms, zakat, required of Muslims. However, non-Muslims, or dhimmi, were subject to various legal restrictions, including being forbidden to carry weapons, ride on horseback, or have their homes overlook those of Muslims. Likewise, they were required to pay higher taxes than Muslim subjects, including the jizya, which was a key source of state revenue. Many Christians and Jews converted to Islam to secure full social and legal status, though most continued to practice their faith without restriction. The Ottomans developed a unique socio-political system known as the millet, which granted non-Muslim communities a large degree of political, legal, and religious autonomy. In essence, members of a millet were subjects of the empire but not subject to the Muslim faith or Islamic law. A millet could govern its own affairs, such as raising taxes and resolving internal legal disputes, with little or no interference from Ottoman authorities, so long as its members were loyal to the Sultan and adhered to the rules concerning dhimmi. A quintessential example is the ancient Orthodox community of Mount Athos, which was permitted to retain its autonomy and was never subject to occupation or forced conversion. Even special laws were enacted to protect it from outsiders. The Rum millet, which encompassed most Eastern Orthodox Christians, was governed by the Byzantine-era Corpus Juris Civilis, Code of Justinian, with the ecumenical patriarch designated the highest religious and political authority, millet bashi, or ethnarch. Likewise, Ottoman Jews came under the authority of the Haham Basi, or Ottoman chief rabbi, while Armenians were under the authority of the chief bishop of the Armenian Apostolic Church. As the largest group of non-Muslim subjects, the Rum millet enjoyed several special privileges in politics and commerce. However, Jews and Armenians were also well represented among the wealthy merchant class, as well as in public administration. Some modern scholars consider the millet system to be an early example of religious pluralism, as it accorded minority religious groups official recognition and tolerance. Social-political religious structure. Beginning in the early 19th century, society, government, and religion were interrelated in a complex, overlapping way that was deemed inefficient by Ataturk, who systematically dismantled it after 1922. In Constantinople, the Sultan ruled two distinct domains, the secular government and the religious hierarchy. Religious officials formed the ulama, who had control of religious teachings and theology, and also the empire's judicial system, giving them a major voice in day-to-day affairs in communities across the empire, but not including the non-Muslim elites. They were powerful enough to reject the military reforms proposed by Sultan Selim III, his successor Sultan Mahmud II (1808–1839), first won ulama approval before proposing similar reforms. The secularization program brought by Ataturk ended the ulama and their institutions. The caliphate was abolished, madrasas were closed down, and the Sharia courts were abolished. He replaced the Arabic alphabet with Latin letters, ended the religious school system, and gave women some political rights. Many rural traditionalists never accepted this secularization, and by the 1990s they were reasserting a demand for a larger role for Islam. The Janissaries were a highly formidable military unit in the early years, but as Western Europe modernized its military organization technology, the Janissaries became a reactionary force that resisted all change. Steadily, the Ottoman military power became outdated, but when the Janissaries felt their privileges were being threatened, or outsiders wanted to modernize them, or they might be superseded by the cavalrymen, they rose in rebellion. The rebellions were highly violent on both sides, but by the time the Janissaries were suppressed, it was far too late for Ottoman military power to catch up with the West. The political system was transformed by the destruction of the Janissaries, a powerful military/governmental/police force, which revolted in the auspicious incident of 1826. Sultan Mahmud II crushed the revolt, executed the leaders, and disbanded the large organization. That set the stage for a slow process of modernization of government functions, as the government sought, with mixed success, to adopt the main elements of Western bureaucracy and military technology. The Janissaries had been recruited from Christians and other minorities. Their abolition enabled the emergence of a Turkish elite to control the Ottoman Empire. A large number of ethnic and religious minorities were tolerated in their own separate segregated domains called millets. They were primarily Greek, Armenian, or Jewish. In each locality, they governed themselves, spoke their own language, ran their own schools, cultural and religious institutions, and paid somewhat higher taxes. They had no power outside the millet. The imperial government protected them and prevented major violent clashes between ethnic groups. Ethnic nationalism, based on distinctive religion and language, provided a centripetal force that eventually destroyed the Ottoman Empire. In addition, Muslim ethnic groups, which were not part of the millet system, especially the Arabs and the Kurds, were outside the Turkish culture and developed their own separate nationalism. The British-sponsored Arab nationalism in the First World War, promising an independent Arab state in return for Arab support. Most Arabs supported the Sultan, but those near Mecca believed in and supported the British promise. At the local level, power was held beyond the control of the Sultan by the Ayans or local notables. The Ayan collected taxes, formed local armies to compete with other notables, took a reactionary attitude toward political or economic change, and often defied policies handed down by the Sultan. After the 18th century, the Ottoman Empire was shrinking, as Russia put on heavy pressure and expanded to its south. Egypt became effectively independent in 1805, and the British later took it over, along with Cyprus. Greece became independent, and Serbia and other Balkan areas became highly restive as the force of nationalism pushed against imperialism. The French took over Algeria and Tunisia. The Europeans all thought that the empire was a sick man in rapid decline. Only the Germans seemed helpful, and their support led to the Ottoman Empire joining the Central Powers in 1915, with the result that they came out as one of the heaviest losers of the First World War in 1918. Culture. The Ottomans absorbed some of the traditions, art, and institutions of cultures in the regions they conquered and added new dimensions to them. Numerous traditions and cultural traits of previous empires, in fields such as architecture, cuisine, music, leisure, and government, were adopted by the Ottoman Turks, who developed them into new forms, resulting in a new and distinctively Ottoman cultural identity. Although the predominant literary language of the Ottoman Empire was Turkish, Persian was the preferred vehicle for the projection of an imperial image. Slavery was part of Ottoman society, with most slaves employed as domestic servants. Agricultural slavery, like that in the Americas, was relatively rare. Unlike systems of chattel slavery, slaves under Islamic law were not regarded as movable property, and the children of female slaves were born legally free. Female slaves were still sold in the empire as late as 1908. During the 19th century, the empire came under pressure from Western European countries to outlaw the practice. Policies developed by various sultans throughout the 19th century attempted to curtail the Ottoman slave trade, but slavery had centuries of religious backing and sanction, and so was never abolished in the empire. Plague remained a major scourge in Ottoman society until the second quarter of the 19th century. Between 1701 and 1750, 37 larger and smaller plague epidemics were recorded in Istanbul, and 31 between 1751 and 1801. Ottomans adopted Persian bureaucratic traditions and culture. The sultans also made an important contribution in the development of Persian literature. Language was not an obvious sign of group connection and identity in the 16th century among the rulers of the Ottoman Empire, Safavid Iran and Abu-el-Kharid Shabanids of Central Asia. Hence, the ruling classes of all three polities were bilingual in varieties of Persian and Turkic. But in the century's final quarter, linguistic adjustments occurred in the Ottoman and Safavid realms, defined by a new rigidity that favored Ottoman Turkish and Persian, respectively. Education. In the Ottoman Empire, each millet established a schooling system serving its members. Education was therefore largely divided on ethnic and religious lines. Few non-Muslims attended schools for Muslim students, and vice versa. Most institutions that served all ethnic and religious groups taught in French or other languages. Several foreign schools, Furler Mektebleri, operated by religious clergy, primarily served Christians, although some Muslim students attended. Garnett described the schools for Christians and Jews as organized upon European models, with voluntary contributions supporting their operation and most of them well attended and with a high standard of education. Literature. The two primary streams of Ottoman written literature are poetry and prose. Poetry was by far the dominant stream. The earliest work of Ottoman historiography, for example, the Iskendername, was composed by the poet Taseddin Amidi, 1334 to 1413. Until the 19th century, Ottoman prose did not contain any examples of fiction. There were no counterparts to, for instance, the European romance, short story, or novel. Analog genres did exist, though, in both Turkish folk literature and in divan poetry. Ottoman divan poetry was a highly ritualized and symbolic art form. From the Persian poetry that largely inspired it, it inherited a wealth of symbols whose meanings and interrelationships, both of similitude, Murareti Nadirin Murari Nazir / Tenesabu Tenesub, and opposition, to the Dutezad, were more or less prescribed. Divan poetry was composed through the constant juxtaposition of many such images within a strict metrical framework, allowing numerous potential meanings to emerge. The vast majority of divan poetry was lyric in nature, either ghazals, which make up the greatest part of the repertoire of the tradition, or kaysides. But there were other common genres, especially the mesnevi, a kind of verse romance and thus a variety of narrative poetry. The two most notable examples of this form are the Leyli and Majnun of Fuzuli and the Huzun You Ask of Say Galib. The Sayahat name of Evliya Çelebi, 1611 to 1682, is an outstanding example of travel literature. Until the 19th century, Ottoman prose did not develop to the extent that contemporary divan poetry did. A large part of the reason was that much prose was expected to adhere to the rules of SEC, Seca, also transliterated as Sesi, or rhymed prose, a type of writing descended from the Arabic Saj, that prescribed that between each adjective and noun in a string of words, such as a sentence, there must be a rhyme. Nevertheless, there was a tradition of prose in the literature of the time, though it was exclusively non-fictional. One apparent exception was Muhayyilat, Fancies, by Ciritli Ali Aziz Efendi, a collection of stories of the fantastic written in 1796, though not published until 1867. The first novel published in the Ottoman Empire was Vartan Pasha's 1851 The Story of Akabi, Turkish, Akabi Hikayesi. It was written in Turkish but with Armenian script. Due to historically close ties with France, French literature constituted the major Western influence on Ottoman literature in the latter half of the 19th century. As a result, many of the same movements prevalent in France during this period had Ottoman equivalents. In the developing Ottoman prose tradition, for instance, the influence of Romanticism can be seen during the Tanzimat period, and that of the realist and naturalist movements in subsequent periods. In the poetic tradition, on the other hand, the influence of the Symbolist and Parnassian movements was paramount. Many of the writers in the Tanzimat period wrote in several different genres simultaneously. For instance, the poet Namak Kemal also wrote the important 1876 novel Intiba, Awakening. While the journalist Ibrahim Senasi is noted for writing, in 1860, the first modern Turkish play, the one-act comedy Ser Evlemisai, The Poet's Marriage, an earlier play, a farce titled Vakayay Asabi Vihavadizai Garibi Kefskar Ahmed, The Strange Events and Bizarre Occurrences of the Cobbler Ahmed, dates from the beginning of the 19th century, but there is doubt about its authenticity. In a similar vein, the novelist Ahmed Midhat Efendi wrote important novels in each of the major movements. Romanticism, Hasan Mela Yahud Sir Isand Esrar, 1873, Hasan the Sailor, or The Mystery Within the Mystery. Realism, Hinas on Yedi Yasinda, 1881, just 17 years old, and Naturalism, Muzahid, 1891. Observations. This diversity was, in part, due to Tanzimat writers' wish to disseminate as much of the new literature as possible, in the hopes that it would contribute to a revitalization of Ottoman social structures. Media. The media of the Ottoman Empire was diverse, with newspapers and journals published in languages including French, Greek, and German. Many of these publications were centered in Constantinople, but there were also French-language newspapers produced in Beirut, Salonika, and Smyrna. Non-Muslim ethnic minorities in the empire used French as a lingua franca and used French-language publications. While some provincial newspapers were published in Arabic, the use of French in the media persisted until the end of the empire in 1923 and for a few years thereafter in the Republic of Turkey. Architecture. The architecture of the empire developed from earlier Seljuk Turkish architecture, with influences from Byzantine and Iranian architecture and other architectural traditions in the Middle East. Early Ottoman architecture experimented with multiple building types over the course of the 13th to 15th centuries, progressively evolving into the classical Ottoman style of the 16th and 17th centuries, which was also strongly influenced by the Hagia Sophia. The most important architect of the classical period is Mimar Sinan, whose major works include the Seyitzade Mosque, Süleymaniye Mosque, and Selimiye Mosque. The greatest of the court artists enriched the Ottoman Empire with many pluralistic artistic influences, such as mixing traditional Byzantine art with elements of Chinese art. The second half of the 16th century also saw the apogee of certain decorative arts, most notably in the use of Isnik tiles. Beginning in the 18th century, Ottoman architecture was influenced by the Baroque architecture in Western Europe, resulting in the Ottoman Baroque style. Nuruosmaniye Mosque is one of the most important examples from this period. The last Ottoman period saw more influences from Western Europe, brought in by architects such as those from the Bulyan family. Empire style and neoclassical motifs were introduced and a trend towards eclecticism was evident in many types of buildings, such as the Dolmabahce Palace. The last decades of the Ottoman Empire also saw the development of a new architectural style called Neo-Ottoman or Ottoman Revivalism, also known as the First National Architectural Movement, by architects such as Mimar Kemaleddin and Vedat Tek. Ottoman dynastic patronage was concentrated in the historic capitals of Bursa, Edirne, and Istanbul, Constantinople, as well as in several other important administrative centers such as Amasya and Manisa. It was in these centers that most important developments in Ottoman architecture occurred and that the most monumental Ottoman architecture can be found. Major religious monuments were typically architectural complexes, known as a kulay, that had multiple components providing different services or amenities. In addition to a mosque, these could include a madrasa, a hammam, an imaret, a sebil, a market, a caravanserai, a primary school, or others. These complexes were governed and managed with the help of a vakıf agreement, Arabic waqf. Ottoman constructions were still abundant in Anatolia and in the Balkans, Rumelia. But in the more distant Middle Eastern and North African provinces, older Islamic architectural styles continued to hold strong influence and were sometimes blended with Ottoman styles. Decorative arts. The tradition of Ottoman miniatures, painted to illustrate manuscripts or used in dedicated albums, was heavily influenced by the Persian art form, though it also included elements of the Byzantine tradition of illumination and painting. A Greek academy of painters, the Nakhichaeni Rum, was established in the Topkapi Palace in the 15th century. while early in the following century a similar Persian academy, the Nakhchivan-i Irani, was added. Surname-i Humayun, Imperial Festival Books, were albums that commemorated celebrations in the Ottoman Empire in pictorial and textual detail. Ottoman illumination covers non-figurative painted or drawn decorative art in books or on sheets in muraka or albums, as opposed to the figurative images of the Ottoman miniature. It was a part of the Ottoman book arts together with the Ottoman miniature, tasvir, calligraphy, hat, Islamic calligraphy, bookbinding, silt, and paper marbling, abru. In the Ottoman Empire, illuminated and illustrated manuscripts were commissioned by the Sultan or the administrators of the court. In Topkapi Palace, these manuscripts were created by the artists working in Nakhchivan, the atelier of the miniature and illumination artists. Both religious and non-religious books could be illuminated. Also, sheets for albums leva consisted of illuminated calligraphy, hat, of tugra, religious texts, verses from poems or proverbs, and purely decorative drawings. The art of carpet weaving was particularly significant in the Ottoman Empire, carpets having an immense importance both as decorative furnishings, rich in religious and other symbolism, and as a practical consideration, as it was customary to remove one's shoes in living quarters. The weaving of such carpets originated in the nomadic cultures of Central Asia, carpets being an easily transportable form of furnishing, and eventually spread to the settled societies of Anatolia. Turks used carpets, rugs, and kilims not just on the floors of a room but also as a hanging on walls and doorways, where they provided additional insulation. They were also commonly donated to mosques, which often amassed large collections of them. Music and performing arts. Ottoman classical music was an important part of the education of the Ottoman elite. A number of the Ottoman sultans have accomplished musicians and composers themselves, such as Selim III, whose compositions are often still performed today. Ottoman classical music arose largely from a confluence of Byzantine music, Armenian music, Arabic music, and Persian music.